Yeah, maybe you have your volume up or turn your ears up a little faster. Maybe that's why. So, but anyway, so, all right, we said Luke chapter 22, right? All right, so one of the things, let's read it first. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So one of the things that I have found throughout this ordeal and this challenge that we are going through, and I find it a lot, is that people are really losing, I'm not saying they're losing their faith, but they're growing weary. And if you watch Facebook for any length of time, people are getting upset. They're yelling at everybody. Why are you out of the house? Why don't you quarantine yourself? And don't realize some people need to go out to buy, you know, groceries or things like that. But everybody's really getting uptight. The suicide hotline had a 300% increase in calls last week, all because of this. And it's really coming to a boiling point. But one of the things that I, as a pastor, have done for the last 25 years is have taught this church faith. It's one of the things that I have stood on firmly for the last 25 years is to teach you how to have faith in God. That no matter what you go through, God is still in control. God is still on the throne. God has not forsaken us. God has not kind of taken a break from us. God knows exactly what we're going through. God sympathizes with our weaknesses, it says in Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus sympathizes. He was tempted in all points. And so because of that, you know, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace. But one of the things that I know that in Luke it also says this, Jesus said, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? That is a very key scripture. Because it's easy for us to go through a situation like this and say, you know, some may have lost their jobs and some have lost loved ones that have died and our hearts go out to you. And you can easily say, well, how come God didn't take care of me? Why did he take care of them? Why did this happen to my relative? Why did my, you know, mom or dad die or what? And it's easy to go down that road and get riddled with fear. But what we need to do is stay in faith, especially as a church. You know, this is not something new. It's come and gone before. And like I said, God knew this was coming. And a lot of times, you know, James says that we're tested. Our faith is tested. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. And what is our job? Our job is to stand strong in faith. We don't waver in faith. And so the point is that we need to continue to encourage one another. We need to speak life to one another. We can't give up on one another. You know, when the tide comes in, all the boats go up. And so when this, what we're going through, we all need to stand strong in faith. You know, in the Old Testament, I said this last night, that when God took them out into the wilderness, the Israelites, I mean, he stripped them of everything. They had nothing except God. And then he says this, he says, I set before you life and death, therefore choose life. He gave them the answer to the test. He said, here's a test, what's your choice? He said, well, let me give you the answer before you decide. And he says, choose life. And so we have to, and I've taught this about faith, we have to look at the other side of this, that we will get through this. This is temporary. So start looking on the other side of the plague, of corona. Start looking at when this is over, where we're going to be. Because you don't want to be in a place where you were beat up, your faith failed you, you were downtrodden, depressed because of this, but you need to see yourself as it's already been passed. Amen? We call those things that be not as though they were. Like Romans chapter 4, 17, Abraham, he said that he grew strong in faith by giving glory to God. So, you know, you may be out on Facebook right now or anywhere else, but in your home, give glory to God. Stay strong in faith. We'll do the best we can to feed you faith, but we pray that your faith won't fail you. Because when you're going through a situation, the very first thing that is attacked is your faith. And fear will destroy your faith. Fear eats faith. But faith is greater than fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we are not afraid of this thing. We stand firm. Amen? Psalm 91 is very clear that he will keep us from the plague. He will keep us. There will be no plague come near our dwelling place. These are scriptures we have taught for years. And I say that because for the last 25 years, many of you have been in faith school. You know, you've been in class. Now it's time to exercise your faith. Father, we will make it through this. I choose to be on God's side, not on Corona's side. I choose to live in faith, not in fear. Faith over fear every day. Now notice this. Notice what Jesus said to Peter. He said, Satan has come to sift you like wheat. How many of you know this corona thing is sifting people? Satan has come to sift people. Yes, God allowed this. Let's be clear. God allowed this. God allows a lot of things to go on. God allowed us to come, but it's not a time for us to fall in fear, but we've been summoned to rise up higher in faith. This is a summoning call. I believe this is a call from God. It's like, where are you in this thing? It's time to wake up, rise up, revive the church, and declare, no, we will make it through this. This is nothing for God. I believe in my God. You can strip everything away from me, but I trust in God. Jesus said, make sure your feet are on solid ground, not on sinking sand, because storms will come. And the storms have come, and it's time for us to take a stand and say, Jesus is my rock. Because I'm founded on him, there is nothing that can move me. I will not be moved by corona, COVID, whatever foul thing you want to call it. Amen? So I'm trying to feed your faith this morning. And I want you to notice how Jesus told Peter to go through this. He said this, I'm not going to take care of it for you. Do you notice? He says, I'm not going to fix this for you. He says, all I'm going to do is this. I'm going to pray for you, that your faith won't fail you. Now remember, Peter's been with Jesus for 3 years now. For 3 years he's been teaching him faith. He's been showing him miracles. Peter's seen miracles. Peter walked on water, and now it's come time for Peter to do something about it. So listen, fellow brothers, Christians, it's time for you to stand in faith. It's time for you to trust in God. There is nothing anyone can do about it. The government can't fix this. It is time for you to trust in God and not fear. Amen. The devil has come. He comes to sift. Now, let me go through the sifting process. I want you to explain what being sifted like wheat means so you kind of can understand what Peter's going through here. And it's interesting because notice how Jesus calls him Simon, Simon. Like, he doesn't say Simon. He calls him twice. So in other words, he's trying to get his attention. Or you know how when your kids are bad, you call them by their full name, right? Middle name, first name, middle name, right? Because he's saying, listen here, Aristotle James. You know, Mateo James, you better listen up. In other words, this is real important. Jesus is making a real point of this. He says, you better listen up, Simon. He says, if you don't listen twice, Simon, Simon, you got it now? You listen to me, Simon. This is important. Satan has come. He's asked for you. He's come to sift you like wheat. So we're being sifted right now. The whole world is being sifted. The government is being sifted. Nobody knows what to do. And all they want to do is just shut everything down. You know, and in the natural, that's the best thing. Wash your hands. You know, take a shower every now and then. You know, use sanitizing things. Clean things. Don't sneeze on people. He didn't sneeze on anybody. But it's proper to do things in the natural, right? But there's one thing that we need to do as Christians that we know better than anyone in this planet is we have faith in God, and we are immovable. He is indestructible. Hallelujah. Nothing can move him. He is still on the throne. Amen. He rose from the dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. If he can conquer that, he can conquer anything. And so our faith rests in him. You know, when I was praying this week, God really drilled some things into me this week. And he says, when I raised Jesus from the dead, that was a guarantee that I'll take you through anything. That was my guarantee that you'll make it. I will be with you. And he said, when you call out on my name, there is no way I can deny what my son did for you. So it's our time to declare the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. In his name, everything bows their knee. COVID-19 must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. I believe God is waiting for us to stand up and do something about this. Praise Jesus. All right, so let's talk about the sifting process of wheat. So what they do to sift wheat, it's a two-step process. First, they throw everything down on a concrete floor, all the wheat that they harvest in. They throw it down on a concrete floor, and the first step is to use what they call a flail. A flail is two pieces of stick tied with either a rope or a chain. And what they do is they take two flails and they just start beating it like this. Just beat the tar out of it on the floor. Beat it and beat it and beat it, and their hands are doing this. So have you ever heard of anybody like flailing? You know, their arms are flailing? That's where we get the term from a flail. Because, you know, like, you ever tried, like, to catch that mosquito that you're going, right? Your arms are flailing like that. You're like, get, all the gnats that come, you know. That's what flailing means. So that's where we get the term. So they use this thing, flail, is they just sat there and just did this. They just beat it, until the husk was separated from the stalk, and they just beat it. So that's called the threshing floor. And that's what Satan's been doing. He's been beating us and beating us and beating us. Then they take the wheat and they put it in something called a sifter. Or, there's another term. It's a colander, yes. So they shake it. They shake it really hard until then the wheat starts falling out and everything else stays on top. So like when they do the gold rush, right, they shake it and all the sand goes out and the water goes out. So that's the next, it's a two-step process. First you get beat up and then you get shaken up, all right? So that's what he says. He says, Peter, you're in the different phase. You're not just been flailed, but now you're being sifted. So Satan is trying to take him to go through like a little hole. He's trying to sift you to go through this little hole. And he says, you'll make it, Peter, because I prayed for you. This is how you'll make it through. I prayed for you that your faith won't fail you. Amen. Now, let me talk about the word where he says that I've prayed for you. Because we think of the word, when we say prayer, right, the word prayer, we think of, you know, that Jesus got down on his knees and said, Father in heaven, I'm praying for Peter. And I just pray his faith won't fail him, right? I pray, Lord, I pray that you bless Peter. Lord, I pray that, right? That's not what the word he's using here. It's not the typical word for prayer. It's a Greek word, and the Greek word is themeno. The word themeno means is to take a rope and tie yourself around with it. So what he said, I've prayed for you, or he's saying, I've tied myself to you. So when you go through this, you won't be alone. Listen, if your faith is in the government, they're not tying themselves to you. If your faith is in Jesus, he has tied himself to you. He said, I have tied. He told Peter, he said, I have prayed for you, but he said, no. The Greek word, he says, I have tied myself. I have bound myself to you. So in other words, our faith in him, when we do that, Jesus, all right, that's all I need. And he wraps himself around us and ties himself to us. He says it, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why did he say that? Because he's prayed for us. In other words, he's, you know, because everybody, how many times you get on Facebook and said, oh, prayers, you know, sending prayers. Right? Right? How many times you see that, right? Somebody said, I'm going through, I'm sending prayers, and everybody does one of these emojis, right? Well, what does it mean to send prayers? Is that a prayer? No. No. Jesus said, I'm not sending you emoji this morning. He said, I'm tying myself to you, Peter. We're going through this together, Peter, because you made me Lord of your life. Because you declared me. Peter, you submitted everything to me. You have followed me these last 3 years, and I'm tying myself to you, Peter. I will not allow you to go through this alone. I want you to know Jesus is not allowing us to go through this alone. He is here. Nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. 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 Do you remember when Adam got kicked out of the garden? Everybody kind of looks at it and says, well, you know, God was mad at them and kicked him out of the garden. You know, all the blessings were in the garden. You know, they can eat whatever they want. And, you know, it was easy in the garden. And how dare God kick them out of the garden? I want you to understand this. God kicked them out of the garden not because he didn't love them, because he was protecting them. If he didn't kick him out of the garden, they would have ate of the tree of life and stayed in that condition forever. And he didn't want them to stay in that fallen condition forever. So he says, I have to kick you out. I have to protect you. You don't know what I'm doing right now. See, we don't understand why this coronavirus thing is here. We don't understand why people are dying and others aren't. We don't understand how a 103-year-old Italian lady lived and a 70-year-old died. We don't understand. But God says, I'm protecting you. Just don't worry about it. I got this. That's where faith is. That's where our hope is. We don't know why, but God does. Our job is to have faith in him, and he will bind himself to us. I preach to myself. I preach happy. Preach myself happy. Now, I want you to notice the other word he uses here. He says this, in the same scripture, he says this, I've prayed for you. He says, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, they may sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. In other words, I've tied myself to you. We're going through this together, Peter. He says that your faith should not fail. Now watch this. And he says, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So Jesus knew he was going to deny him, right? We all know that, right? But it's interesting, the Greek word for return to me, return. Jesus is not thinking, Jesus knows he's going to deny him, but he's not saying he's going to fail him, he's going to deny him. And the Greek word he uses says this, he says, when you've gone through this, you'll be changed. He says, this situation, the Greek word means converted. How many of you in the Bible says converted? Anybody have the version that says converted? But the Greek word literally means that you've been converted or you've been changed. It doesn't say when you return to me. Jesus used that. He says, but when you've been changed, when you've been converted. In other words, he's saying this situation that you're going through, Peter, is going to change you. You're going to be a whole lot better. Because notice what he says. Notice Jesus didn't say, you're going to fail me. You're no good. I thought you were my buddy. You know, why'd you do this to me? How dare you deny me? He didn't beat him up over it. He says this. He says, and when you return to me, strengthen the brethren. So in other words, Jesus doesn't look at the failure. He looks at the good that's going to come out of the failure. In other words, Jesus says this. He says, when you've gone through this and you've been changed, you've experienced faith failure. When you've experienced this sifting, you're going to be so much stronger and you're going to be able to strengthen the brethren. So what I'm saying is this. If you hold on and we go through this with joy and we go through this looking at the other side, when we get through this, we will be changed. The world is going to be changed forever. But we will be changed. How? It's up to you. Are you going to be changed to the better so now you can strengthen people? or you're going to be beat up by fear. He says it, you're going to be changed. Everything we go through should take us to a higher level of faith. We should go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Not like, oh my, oh no, there is no vaccine. What am I going to do now? I don't know. No, we should say, thank God he is on the throne. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. God makes me strong through every situation. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. He'll never leave me nor forsake me because he has bound himself to me. Amen. We will overcome. Stop looking at the circumstance in front of your eyes. Look at the other side. If you only knew what was on the other side, you'd be jumping for joy right now. You'd be seeing churches full. You'll be seeing your friends and relatives calling you up saying, hey, I need prayer. Hey, what church do you go to? Hey, can you help me out? This was a difficult situation, man, but you went through it differently. You had joy. You didn't get down. You never lost your job. You never got sick. I want to know about the God you serve. Amen? We need to look forward. Praise Jesus. Amen. All right, let me give you one more scripture and then we'll be done. Everybody good out there? Yes? Everybody in here? Yes. Facebook? Hey. Huh? You what? Yes. Oahu. I thought you said Wuhan. Oahu. Oahu. Amen. Go to Luke. Actually, let me read 1 John 5:4 for you real quick. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I want you to say this, and my faith in God overcomes coronavirus. I will not fear. I'll stay in faith. I will not fear. I'll stay in faith. I will not fear. I'll stay in faith. God's got my back. He won't deny me. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I'll make it through. Amen. Luke 22, verse 31, real quick, and then we'll end. Yeah, oh, yes, it is where we've been, right? Then stay there. How's Facebook? It's good? Luke 22, verse 31. Let me read the rest of it. I want you to see something. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you without money, money bags, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. The purpose let me read this. The temptations of the devil will often serve for the purpose of revealing strength or weakness in our lives. I'm telling you this, that one of the purposes that you should take, the lessons you should take from this virus is that it's pointing out the strength or the weakness in your faith. You really need to take a lesson out of this. The purpose that you should take away from this, is it pointing out a weakness or is it pointing out a strength? Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said again. He said, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail you. I've bound myself to you. So everybody on Facebook, online, on the app, we're going to pray for you, for everybody in here, and we're going to bind ourselves to each other. Is that cool? Yeah. We're going to tie ourselves together because the Bible says if you agree concerning anything, it shall be done, right? The Bible says something about corporate prayer. Then we corporately get together in unity, in faith, the world begins to tremble and shake. When 120 people were in the upper room together, what happened? They were in one accord. What happened? The Holy Ghost showed up. Fire from heaven showed up. The earth shook. When they were praying in Acts chapter 4, that Peter came and showed up, and they were praying. It says that the earth shook where they were because of their united prayer. So we're going to bind ourselves to all of you that are out there in here watching, and more importantly, we're going to bind ourselves to him. Because Jesus is the only one who will get us through this. Amen? So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful. Father, we come first before you humbly. Father, we repent of all our sins. We repent, Father God, for not putting you first in our lives. I am so thankful, Father, that you have stripped us of everything this day, that now we can take stock of who we really are, of where our faith is. Is it shallow? Is it weak? Or is it strong? Father God, we bind ourselves to one another right now. We come in agreement with every person on Facebook, with every person on the live stream, every person in this church, every member of this church. Father, we bind ourselves together. We bind our hearts together. We knit our hearts together. And Father, we stand strong. We declare that our faith would not fail us. Though we get flailed, though we get sifted like wheat, we will stand strong. Our faith is immovable. Our faith is solid on Jesus, the rock. Father, we hold fast to the confession of our faith that Jesus is on the throne, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, that he rose from the dead, that he sits at your right hand. And as he is, so are we in this world. That, Father, you saved us. You raised us together with Christ. And you've made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ. So we pray with one another. And we bind ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess Jesus as Lord of our lives. We believe that, Father, you raised him from the dead. We declare he is Master, King of kings, Lord of glory. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the resurrection and the life. He's the one who was dead but is alive forevermore. He's our soon coming King. He's a wonderful Counselor. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Almighty God. And Father God, we give our lives to him completely. And I know in John 17, Jesus prayed that we may be one. Father, I pray that we all be one through this. We walk hand in hand, side by side. We will not allow one person to fail through this. I pray, Father, that their faith would stand strong. The word of God would begin to bubble up from us richly. I thank you, Father, for the joy of the Holy Ghost in us, the one who gives us strength, and we see to the other side, knowing, Father God, that this COVID virus has an end, but you don't have an end. You have no beginning, and you are the one who has no end. You are the author and finisher of our faith, but COVID-19 does not dictate our faith. It does not write our story. You have written our story. And I thank you, Lord, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, your word says if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So I lay hands virtually, Father, if that's possible. We stretch out our hands to everyone right now, and we speak life. We speak healing. We declare the name of Jesus, the healer of all our sicknesses and diseases. Thank you that you healed all our diseases. And thank you, Lord, that you keep us from the plague. We pray, Father, for this in the name that's above every name, the name that cannot be denied,
the name, Father God, the precious, mighty, wonderful, magnificent name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you don't mind, let's say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord God forevermore. Amen. You want? You have a song you want to finish out?
I know.
Let's just finish
how this
song.
Story ends.
And we'll end for today. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I know how this story ends. Can we just say that in a couple more times? Yes, I know how this story ends. Come on, choir. Say,
hallelujah.
I know how this story ends. Just one more time. Say, oh, I know how this story ends.
Say.
I'm gonna see your victory.
Yes.
I'm gonna see your victory.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Come on, let's sing.
Falls, it won't breathe.
Hallelujah.
Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph.
Yes.
My God will never fail. Can you help me say that?
Yes.
My God. Say, my God will never fail.
Help me out.
So I'm gonna see your victory.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna see your victory.
What the enemy